We'll discuss all those things and more with you, but first things first, let's welcome in Governor Scott Walker, Republican out of Wisconsin, looking to get four more years as governor of that state, and author of his book now out on paperback called Unintimidated, A Governor's Story and a Nation's Challenge. Governor, welcome back.
Hey, good morning. Great to be with you. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, Governor, first off, at your level, if there is a terror threat that we're getting now, we're hearing that the terror is extremely high, the chatter is extremely strong about hitting significant places in America, not only Times Square, but in Georgia, in Las Vegas, and others. You know how potent this is. How hooked in is a governor in Wisconsin to the federal government in Washington?
Oh, very much so. Any governor across America, if they're paying attention to their Homeland Security Advisor, in my case, it's our Adjutant General, the head of the Wisconsin National Guard. We get briefings on that frequently, and those are things we pay very close attention to and would normally, but even more so in times like this.
Are you hearing the same thing? The chatter is up as we get closer to 9/11?
Well, there's certainly great concerns. Obviously, I can't go into absolute detail because a lot of it's classified. But there is no doubt that what we see and hear around the world is having an impact. And I think a number of the folks who are part of the Senate and the Congress are raising concerns about the impact it would have on Homeland again, I think are legitimate concerns. And it's part of the reason why we need a president administration that shows enough strength in dealing with issues around the world. That there's an intimidation factor that will keep, a deterrent factor, really, to keep us safe back here in the United States.
So, Governor, you win as governor of Wisconsin. You had no time to enjoy it. There's a recall. You fight that off, and you win it again. And now you're coming for re-election again. The numbers are strong. Economic indicators are strong. Unemployment is down. But yet you're in a neck-and-neck race with Mary Burke. Why?
Well, my state, as unusual as it seems, my state is a state where a Republican hasn't carried it since I was in high school 30 years ago. It is a state that at best is purple, probably leans a bit blue. It's like a number of other states in the Midwest. We did well in 2010 because people had just had it, and we did well in the recall not only because of our results, but because there probably were a fair number of people who just voted in principle against the recall, and now we've got an even closer race than ever before. But I believe in the end, if voters see the difference between what we offer, taxes down, unemployment down, employment up, personal income up, if they compare that to my predecessor and my opponent now who worked for my predecessor and realize we don't want to go back to those days of double-digit tax increases, billion-dollar budget deficits, and record job loss, I think we'll ultimately win. But it's going to be tight because the unions are pouring millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars into the state.
Why?
Well, for me, it's not only about who the governor of Wisconsin is. I believe because of what we did 3 years ago, this is their Waterloo. This is their line in the sand. They know if they don't take someone out, like me out in a state like Wisconsin, it will send a powerful message to other elected officials across the country and definitely in Washington that you can be bold, you can take on the status quo, you can take on the big government special interest and win. Conversely, if they take us out, I think it will have a chilling effect on any degree of political courage at the state, the local, and even the federal level.
Governor Walker, there's three Republican governors who statistically looks as though they should have a walk-in reelection, like yourself, like Sam Brownback, and like Governor Scott, because they seem to have done most of what they said they were going to do, but all in tight races. One thing about you, you've had to analyze what works and what doesn't work. You're very politically savvy. From the political perspective, why do you think it is that numbers don't seem to matter when it comes to the elections at this point? All three of you could win, but the fact that it's tight is illogical.
Well, you're right. I mean, look at Rick, even more so in Rick Scott's case, because he took, what, about 5 points off their unemployment rate, over 400,000 new jobs, and obviously a big state. And the guy who messed them up in the first place, Charlie Crist, is the one who wants to get his old job back.
For another point.
Why would anybody in Florida give the job back to the guy who screwed it up in the first place? But that's the, you know, for Rick and Fry, to a certain degree with Sam and a few others, there has been a concerted effort by the big government special interests, particularly the big government union bosses, in my case in particular, but to a certain extent in those other states, I throw Rick Schneider in as well. where
Michigan.
They have poured the money in, and they didn't just do it 6 months ago like you typically would have in a normal gubernatorial election. They've been running ads against me since about the end of February of 2011. They have had people on the ground going door to door from across the country in our state because for them, this is one of those lines in the sand that if they can't win in states like Wisconsin, they know in the end this is going to have a ripple effect and other governors and other leaders are going to say, maybe we should think a little bit more about the next generation than just about the next election.
Governor, you have added about 130,000 jobs. You said you'd add 250,000 jobs, and your opponent is making you pay for that, for falling about 100,000 short. You've come back and said, hey, it's more than would fit into, Lambeau Field. It's more than this. But would you admit that you didn't reach your goal?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And the reason we aim big, I don't back off of it at all. I set a big goal because under my predecessor, Jim Doyle, who my opponent, Mary Burke, worked for, not just worked for, she was the Secretary of Commerce for, we lost in the last 4 years before I took office more than 133,000 jobs. Lost 27,000 businesses. We're ranked in the bottom 10 for places to do business in the country. We've completely turned that around. Excuse me. We went from losing jobs to gaining well over 100,000 jobs, from losing businesses to gaining 23,000 businesses. We're now ranked, instead of being ranked 41 in the country, we're ranked 14 best place for business. We're putting people back to work. And we said, yeah, I aim big because I believe the people in my state want to aim big. They want a governor who's going to aim high, not who's going to aim low. And unfortunately, if we're going to aim low, we'd go back to where we were before, which is really the contrast between me and my opponent, Mary Burke, who would be a third term of her,
right,
of her boss, Jim Doyle's old term.
So the number that the local paper came up with, that you had 102,800 jobs. So you fell short, but you're adding, you're on the positive side. You know, there was two major Republican groups, run by Karl Rove, that did a study on voters. And they came out with a conclusion that's got to be disturbing for Republicans. They said the report shows that women paint Republicans conclude that your party is intolerant, lacking in compassion, and stuck in the past. And women are barely receptive to Republican policies. At the very least, you have a communication issue, correct? But this is a Republican group that came up with these findings. You're out and about. You're meeting people in all walks of life. Are you finding that?
Oh, there's no doubt about it, and I think it's driven many ways by many of the mainstream media, certainly the network news, many of our newspapers here in my state and across the country. I mean, I remember last year when my book first came out in the hardbound edition.
Now it's out on paperback.
No, on paperback, thank you, Unintimidated. And I was at an event in Washington, D.C., where we had newspaper reporters from all across the country that was hosted each month for this particular event. And I swear more than half, my staff counted, more than half of the questions were on social issues. Now, I'm pro-life. I'm proud of that. I'm not making excuses for that. But anyone who's paid any attention to me in this state knows that I talk about economic and fiscal issues about 95% of the time. Not because I don't care about those other issues, but because the people who elected me 4 years ago elected me to focus in on that. Just like hiring someone, you tell them, here are the two things I want you to do.
Right.
I've been focused on those. These reporters, more than half of the interview, they tried to ask me about issues unrelated to that. And then they say, well, why do Republicans keep talking about those issues? We don't. We talk about the bread and butter issues that moms and dads care about their families, about their schools, about their kids getting ready for college, about the things that are going to make for better neighborhoods and better communities, and yet many in the media want to pigeonhole, and that's part of the challenge we have. Now, the good news is, with talk radio, with Fox News, with the Internet, there are many more ways in which we get that message out, and we've got to do a better job of exploring those venues because we're not going to get it from the old-fashioned
media. All right, so you blame, you pretty much blame the press. Now, I want to ask you, has Governor Christie, who's the National Governor Association president, has he done enough for you?
Yeah, he's coming in next month. They've been aggressive. Chris has been in here twice before, both in 2010 and 2012, and I have no doubt he'll be back again.
All right. I want you to hear, if you are successful, there's no doubt about it, the buzz is going to be around you running for president. I want you to hear Rand Paul do something, who's clearly running, unless his wife steps in, which he might, but he really wants to run. This is what he said about Hillary Clinton.
I think the American public is coming more and more to where I am, and that those people like Hillary Clinton, who she fought her own war, Hillary's war, people are going to find that, and I think that's what scares the Democrats the most, is that in a general election, were I to run, there's going to be a lot of independents and even some Democrats who say, you know what, we are tired of war. We're worried that Hillary Clinton will get us involved in another Middle Eastern war because she's so gung-ho. If you want to see a transformational election in our country, let the Democrats put forward a war hawk like Hillary Clinton, and you'll see a transformation like you've never seen.
So you have a libertarian saying she's a war hawk, I'm staying out of the Middle East, and now they're saying Hillary Clinton is a war hawk. Democrats are usually not known for that. Where does Governor Scott Walker see himself in that picture, and does he agree with Rand?
Well, listening to that, it's what's the old adage, cats and dogs living together. I mean, talk about flipping things completely upside down. I think there's got to be a reasonable balance between protecting national security interests, making sure that our people here and abroad are safe, and certainly we've seen a failure of that with this current administration, and at the same time putting an appropriate level of attention on things that matter at home. I think more than just fear about future wars, the biggest fear I hear in my state, and I think it's true in other states, is people are fearful of living paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah.
They're fearful they can't pay the mortgage, and they want leaders who are going to be focused on those issues. I think even more so than what Senator Paul is saying, it's just they want leaders who are going to tackle those tough issues, and they don't see it out of this president.
You know, we had Paul Ryan in here. He has got a book out, too. Yours out on paperback. He's just breaking his out
on
hardback.
Yeah.
So you're in big
book,
competition. He says, my main goal is getting you reelected. That's what he said. But the other thing that's made clear, he said, if Mitt Romney runs, I will not run. I'll drive the bus for him. If Mitt Romney runs again, and by the way, he's up in 35% in the latest Iowa poll. Nobody else has more than single digits among the Republicans. Do you feel the same way?
Well, I think Mitt would. I think it's pretty clear the last year and a half that Mitt would have been a monster-sized improvement from this president. I think he would have been a great president. He's a good man. I just think his campaign in many ways failed him from focusing on the things that would have shown he would have been a reformer and turned this country around. You know, that's a decision he's got to make. I think he wants to have an impact.
But
on
how would you
policy.
Feel about it as a Republican that wants the White House personally and for his party?
Well, in the end, my interest, just like it is in this state, I'm interested in moving my state forward in the same way I want my country to move forward. And I don't think it's about any one person. I think it's about who can best move the country forward. And if he's in a position to do that, God bless him for being interested.
Gotcha. Governor Scott Walker, good luck with your book now on paperback, which means it's bendable and cheaper. Unintimidated, A Governor's Story and a Nation's Challenge. And your election's going to be a thriller to the end. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Brent. Good to be with you.
Okay, always.